seems so unclear, but I know that you go with me, so I will never fear. I will trust in you. Whatever will come our way, through fire or in pouring rain, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and sing. Then we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. You know my every longing. You've heard my every prayer. You've held me in my weakness, 'cause you were always there. So I stand in full surrender. It's your way and not my own. My mind is set on nothing less than you and you alone. I will not be moved. Oh. Whatever will come my way, through fire and pouring rain, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and sing. Then we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. We will trust in you. We will not be moved. We will trust in you. And we won't be shaken. We will trust in you. We will not be moved. We will trust in you. Trust in you. We will not be moved. We will trust in you. And we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever will come our way, through fire or pouring rain, no, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. No, we won't be shaken. Amen.
When worry finds me in the middle of the fight, when strength is gone, in the middle of the fire, when fear is closing in, you are my song. You're my hope when hope is gone. I will cast my cares on you, the Almighty. When strength is gone, in the middle of the fire, when fear is closing in, you are my song. You're my hope when hope is gone. I will cast my cares on you, the Almighty. I will cast my
to take a seat. And just close your eyes, and wherever you are in your walk with God, just focus on that right now. Whatever you need in this moment, just ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to dwell in this place. If you feel like praying right now, if you feel like singing, whatever you need, just focus on you and God right now.
To the Holy One.
You right my wrong. You break my chains. You overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? How can afraid I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you still love me. But in your eyes there's only grace and love. You plead my cause. You right my wrong.
Recently, I spent some time cleaning out my home office. Do any of you have a home office? Right? It's kind of the place where all the stuff goes that we don't know what to do with. And so I spent some time cleaning it out, and I found a lot of things, a lot of junk that could immediately go. Then I found a lot of things that were goodwill worthy. And then a pile of books that I don't think I had ever even cracked the spine on and thought, just I need to get rid of them. But the thing I found that gave me the most joy and pleasure was a magnet that I didn't even know I had. And like it says on your screen, it said, let go or be dragged. Isn't that great? Isn't that how life often is? I mean, I know for myself that there have been times when I've wanted something so badly, and even after it was really clear I wasn't going to get it, I still hold on. I still won't let go. And that's caused me to be dragged. Today we're going to talk about how life calls us many times to let go. To let go of what we want, what we think is due to us, even sometimes to let go of people that we've loved. Life calls us all the time to let go. But most of the time, I think it's our human nature just to hold on anyway. And then we get to experience what it's like to be dragged. Now, our scripture this morning is kind of the scriptural version from the Gospels of let go or be dragged. I mean, it seriously is. It's the story of Peter and Jesus. And Jesus is explaining who he is, and Peter is having none of it. He agrees, yes, that's who you are, but this is how it should look. This is how my plan is for it. And who can blame him? We all have our own expectations. We all have our own ways we think it should go. So let me read this morning's text. It's Mark 8, 27 through 38. And you'll see that there's a handout, and it's on there, and so I'm going to read through it for us. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their lives for my sake will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory of his Father and the holy angels." So there's a lot that we could look at in today's text. But what I want to do is I want to explore with you this morning how this ancient text speaks to us about the decisions that we're all going to face. The decisions to let go of hopes and dreams, desires, and to embrace the reality of what actually is in our life. And I want to do this through looking at our scriptures and looking at the story of Peter. So we're going to hear Peter's story, not just as an ancient story, but really as a way of looking at our own story this morning. And we're going to do this by doing some Bible study. So we're going to take this morning's text and we're going to divide it into three sections. So that's how it looks on your handout, and we'll put up the three sections as we go. So let's start with the first one, part one. So this is the very beginning of our text we just heard, and Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" Now, this is a really important point in Jesus' ministry because he is testing out, after this time with the disciples, do they get it? Do they have a... I think sometimes we think that Jesus is testing Peter, and maybe there's a little of that, but I think what's actually happening is Jesus is trying to see, do you understand? Do you get it? Because this is an important point in Jesus' ministry. And Peter does get it intellectually. You see, like most of us, Peter can grasp that Jesus is the Messiah intellectually. But getting it intellectually is not the same thing as really getting it. Let me give you an example from my own life. Now, I am the mother of a 24-year-old son. And when I was pregnant, I got intellectually that I was going to be a mother. But when he was born, I got it on a whole different level, right? It went from something I knew in my mind to something I experienced in my life. Things like 3 a.m. feedings and getting called by the school when he's sick and just dealing with the everyday things of life is you find out that motherhood is really different when you experience it than when you're just reflecting on it intellectually. When you think about things in the abstract, like I did about parenthood or Peter when he thought about the Messiah, those things really get thrown out the window when you face the reality. Peter understood intellectually what it meant that Jesus was the Messiah, but he had no idea what that really meant. So here's the first thing I want you to hear in this morning's text. Getting something intellectually is very different than living from the reality. Second part of the text, part two. This is verses 31 through 33. So after hearing that Peter gets it intellectually, Jesus starts to tell him what it will actually mean, that Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus teaches that he will suffer, that he'll be rejected, that he'll be killed, and after 3 days he will rise from the dead. Now, Peter, in one of the classic moves, starts to debate Jesus about this. He starts to push back because this isn't his understanding. And the text says that he rebuked Jesus. That's a great word. Why don't we use that word anymore? He rebuked Jesus. And then Jesus turns to Peter and says the line that nobody wants to ever hear from Jesus. You know that line? Get behind me, Satan. You are focused on human things and not divine things. Now, Jesus wants Peter and the disciples to really understand what's going on. But because they had an idea of how they thought it should go, they couldn't make sense of what Jesus was saying. This is the second thing I want us to see, is that you and I, we often get stuck in our lives because we think something's supposed to be one way. And when new information comes to us, we're unwilling to really look at that. Has that ever happened to you? It sure has happened to me. Maybe you have ideas about how your kids are supposed to grow up, or what the neighborhood's supposed to be like, or how your career is supposed to unfold. And maybe it's not going the way you had wanted it. And you're thinking, well, why is this happening to me? I deserve, it should be, pretty common for all of us. I think we can all really feel for Peter. He has an idea on how it should be, and he doesn't want to let it go. And because he doesn't want to let it go, he's now going to get dragged in his life. In fact, Peter gets dragged from this point in the scripture all the way through the rest of what the season we call Lent is, all the way through the season we call Easter, to the moment of Pentecost, when finally he's willing to let go of what he thinks needs to happen to be open to what God is actually doing. And here is how you and I also know we are being dragged in our lives. We feel these same things Peter did. Peter felt confused. He felt overwhelmed. He felt frustrated. And here's the key thing that you know is going on when you are being dragged by life. You're sure others are wrong about how it's supposed to go, and that you're the one who knows and understands. Okay, so two parts so far. First, keep the idea in mind that knowing something intellectually isn't the same as living in the reality. And the second part is we often get stuck when we're not open to new information. So let's look at the last part, part three. We're going to start with verse 34. And we're not going to focus on the whole thing, but there's a couple things here that are really important for us, and I think are really good news for us today. Jesus now turns from Peter and all this drama, and he turns to everybody, including Peter, and he says, if you are going to follow me, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross. You ever heard that phrase? Deny yourself and take up your cross. Well, let's look at those two pieces. Deny yourself has certainly been used to keep people in all kinds of terrible situations, hasn't it? To deny yourself does not mean Jesus is not saying you are to deny your health or your safety or your needs or your identity. What's always important in understanding Scripture is to understand what happened right before the Scripture to help you understand what this Scripture says. And so when Jesus is talking about denying yourself, he's referring back to this conversation he just had with Peter. So right before in this conversation, we hear a closed down Peter who thinks he knows best. And Jesus is saying to Peter and to all of them, for you to really follow me, you're going to have to let go of your limiting ways of thinking and understanding. Past two parts of the text, Peter's stuck in what he thinks. And Jesus is now saying, for you to move forward, for any of us to move forward, we need to let go. Now, this is a big call for all of us. We are called to let go of our attachment to needing things to work out exactly how we've planned or manipulated or schemed, depending on who we are. Jesus' words remind us that there's actually a whole nother way, God's way, the divine way that calls us forward. And so to deny yourself in this text means more like let go of needing it to happen your own way. Let go of needing to control everything in your life. Deny that you are actually God and in charge. You're not. Let go or be dragged. If you're interested in the original language, the Bible was written, this section of the Bible was written in Greek, and the Greek word here for deny means basically this: disown or renounce, put aside your own way, your own thought, your own self-interest for higher understanding. Okay, so that's the deny yourself. The take up your cross. This is also one of those phrases that has been used that's not very helpful. I grew up as a Roman Catholic, and I remember sitting around the table with some of the older women in my family who explained that to take up your cross meant to stay with your horrible husband. Okay? That's not actually what it means. It has been used in very bad ways to keep people in relationships and situations, telling them, well, that's just your cross to bear. But what if we got it wrong? What if we actually took a step back and looked at the context and thought about what the cross actually is? So the cross is God's tool of salvation. It is the way that God has brought healing and wholeness to the world. Take up your cross is not about carrying your burden. It is about God's call to participate in the ongoing salvation, wholeness of the world. So, to deny yourself is to let go of needing things to be your way. And to take up your cross is to be part of what God is doing to bring salvation, wholeness, healing, new life to the world. A lot of heavy stuff, right? Like a lot of heavy stuff. What does this have to do with us? Well, I think it actually has a lot to do with us because we're all faced throughout our life to decide if we're going to let go. And many of us won't let go of situations, just stay stuck, and we tell ourselves, I mean, I sure have. It's not so bad to be dragged. But it is. And it's not God's will for us. There is this beautiful Mary Oliver poem. It's called In the Blackwater Woods. And she teaches something universal in the poem. She says that life is about three things: loving what is, knowing it will not last, and letting go when it's time. So I want to encourage you today to love your life as it is, to release the need to control it, to change it, to get others to behave how you want. And I want you to ask yourself this morning, where is it in your life that you are being dragged? Where is it you won't let go? You'll know because you're angry, you're stuck, you're confused, and you are certain others are wrong. And they may be, but you still gotta let go anyway. We are presented with things we often don't wanna let go of in life. And when we are there, we are faced with the decision, will we trust enough that in our letting go, God will have us? God will guide us. God will not let us fall. Will we trust that in times when it feels like we're losing everything, that God may actually be up to starting something brand new in our lives? Will we trust that letting go is actually how we work out our salvation, meaning how we work out our faith, how we work out our very lives? Peter took a while to get it. He wanted to hold on to what he thought it needed to be. Today, I want to invite you to be honest with where you're at and to admit that there's some areas where you're being dragged, maybe even just a little bit, and to become willing in this season of the Holy Spirit, which is the season of acknowledging the power of God here among us, to trust, to take a deep breath, do that with me, and to trust enough to let go. Let's pray. Loving and holy God, we are grateful for your power and your presence in our lives. We're grateful that it calls us, it leads us, and it guides us. It invites us to look at where we are today, our joys and our sorrows, the areas where we are bound and free, and to give them all to you, knowing that we can let go, that we need not be dragged, and that you hold us always in the palm of your hand. For all this, we are grateful, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't you stand and pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor before we go into this last worship song? Daddy, join me in this last song as we end worship today.
Praise the Lord. When it comes out easy, praise the Lord. On top of the
peace.